What's up, internet friends, and welcome to another episode of the PlayStation Plus Game Club. I'm your host, Kevin Garaventa, aka the Portland Kevin. This time, we are talking about Superliminal. In November of 2019, the small indie studio Pillow Castle Games released this surreal puzzle game for PC and Mac, and then on PlayStation and Xbox in July of 2020. This very special first-person puzzle game has the player harness the power of perspective to escape a dreamlike series of puzzle rooms. And with me today, returning to the Game Club, is the Tall Simone guy, Daryl Fuyumano. Welcome back.
Hey, internet world. Happy to be back. Evan, thanks for bringing me back on the show.
Yeah, it's great to have you back. It's been about a year since you've been on the show. And I thought, you know, you didn't get to choose the game when you were on here. So I thought I should reach out to you and have you pick it.
Yeah, that was cool. I was surprised with the opportunity. And I figure I picked something that's normally outside of my comfort zone. So I'm really excited to talk about Superliminal with you today.
Yeah, good choice. So at first you picked The Artful Escape, and I played through it and I said, like, yeah, that was great. I loved it. I'm excited to talk about it. And then you messaged me and said that, like, oh yeah, well, I played it a couple of months ago. Well, I wanted to give you the chance to play something also that you hadn't played before, because I know you like to earn trophies with it. You know, I wanted this to be pretty fresh in your mind, so I appreciate you changing it up as well. And then a couple of weeks later, they announced that The Artful Escape was going to leave PlayStation Plus. So it's really hard to get to it, you know, even if we were to talk about it now. But just for anyone listening, if you're curious about The Artful Escape, go check it out. It's great. I loved it. But then we changed it up, and now we're going to be talking about Superliminal. So before we start talking about that, Daryl, though, you're from another podcast, Trophy Talk. Do you want to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, I could talk a little bit about it. So I also do another podcast. It's called Trophy Talk Podcast. And I do that with two other guys, Colin Cohoven and Joshua Damaris, both of who have been on this podcast to talk about other games. So Josh and I, we talked about Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles a while back. Great time. That was a lot of fun. And Colin most recently was on here to talk about Shadow of the Colossus. So check those episodes out if you haven't already. The three of us together, we do a bi-weekly podcast where we talk about trophy lists for games. We try to focus on new games that are coming out. So we'll talk about lists and the trophies that are on there. Things like trophy distribution, trophy artwork. We kind of break down the list for your pleasure, just so you can have an idea of what the trophy lists look like. And we also talk about what we've been playing. So that's kind of like the general gist of what we do on there. And if you want to support us and check out what we do, that's awesome. You can check us out on our Twitter page. You can find that at Trophy Talk Pod. And there you can find our SoundCloud page where we upload and record all our episodes. And you can find everything that we've done on there. And we also have a Patreon too if you want to support us. So you can find us on Patreon, Trophy Talk Podcast there if you want to check us out. So that's a little gist of what we do. But yeah, Trophy Talk Podcast.
Yeah, thanks a lot. And I've been on a couple episodes of Trophy Talk, and it is a great show. I love what you guys do. So highly recommend anyone listening, go check that one out too as well. It's a ton of fun. So you guys put on a great show. And also, if you guys enjoyed this episode, please like and subscribe to the show wherever you're listening. It really helps us show up in more recommended feeds. If you want to be a part of an episode of the PlayStation Plus Game Club, you can send in an email at psplusgameclub@gmail.com or contact me on Discord at the Portland Kevin to join our channel and talk about it there. But let's start talking about Superliminal.
Are you filled with feelings of self-doubt? Do you find yourself prone to minimizing massive dilemmas or for allowing the smallest problems to get blown completely out of proportion? At the Pierce Institute, our patent-pending SomnoSculpt technology provides safe and effective dream therapy while you rest in the comfort of our flagship clinic. Located right next to the secondary overflow parking lot at the University Medical Center. SomnoSculpt. We'll make your dreams come true.
the first impression that I got for this game, and my wife got it too right away, was this game definitely reminded me of another very famous indie puzzle game. And you can probably guess what I'm talking about.
You know what? I'm going to take a guess. There's a couple that I have, but I'm going to say Maquette. I could be wrong. That's the game that came to mind for me.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's close. We were on the couch and she was watching me play the first few minutes and she goes, was this made by the same people that made Portal? And like, I was like, you know, I'm sure it's not, but I can see why you ask that, because it totally feels like it's Portal, especially in the first stage. This is a first person puzzle game that has you walk through various rooms and solve these puzzles using perspective to change your environment or change something in your environment to then help you reach the next room. You know, maybe there's like a doorway that's up on a wall and you have to pick up the block that's on the table and just hold it beneath the doorway. And now that block is like the size of a car that you can climb up onto and then climb through the door. That's like the kind of puzzle that the game starts you out with. But they have you manipulate your own perspective and change things up to really just like make you think about what you're seeing and how to use this mechanic to change the size of things around the room. I found it very fascinating. What did you think of this to start off with?
Impressions wise, I was very, I had mixed emotions about this game. So this game, you know, I had already mentioned earlier that this is a game, you know, this is a genre that's normally outside of my comfort zone. I'm not really like attuned to games where puzzle solving is the main component of the game, but I want to go outside of my comfort zone. And the first puzzle right away kind of just turned me off. I'm just telling myself, I'm going to disappoint Kevin. I can't make it through this game. But, you know, I think that's very important to add. It's just that challenge, that level of difficulty is what really adds to the whole story of the game. And, you know, at the very beginning of the game, which really flew over my head, you know, where you're watching this ad and then the doctor's talking to you through the TV. He's saying, are you having feelings of self-doubt? Are you prone to minimizing massive dilemmas and allowing smallest problems to get blown out of proportion? I think that alone, just hearing for the first time, doesn't really make sense. But yeah, then as you play through the game, it's such a very relevant and impactful thing that you encounter early on and don't really realize how impactful it is until you've gone through the game. And just that very first feeling of self-doubt, I'm like, I don't know why I chose this game.
Yeah.
But just the fact that I wanted to see if I can get even further is what really kind of just made this game like one of my favorite games of 2024 so far.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah. I agree with you. Like it's daunting at first just because like you get into this room and you start to play with this mechanic. And I thought to myself, I don't know how I'm going to be able to figure some of this stuff out, because if I'm having trouble right now, how am I going to like get through some later stuff that I expect is going to be a lot harder? So it's daunting just to think about, but this game really does ease you into a lot of the challenge. I feel like where they introduce something as far as like trying to understand perspective. And when you blow things out of proportion, as far as your expectation goes, like, it might feel just overwhelming to think about how am I going to solve anything like this, but you can, it's doable. And I really appreciate how it weaves in that narrative into your own experience. And then you've got Dr. Glenn Pierce chiming in every once in a while to kind of help you through that a little bit more. He's brought you to this state of like a dreamlike state to bring you through some therapy. And that's the whole story, is just your character who doesn't say anything. You don't know who this person is, what, like, why they are here. It's just that you are here for therapy. And this particular style of dream therapy that Glenn Pierce has invented is to help you work through some kind of big problem that you're having. And like, it really creates just this beautiful picture that you can just superimpose anyone's life problems onto. But it's a lovely thing to think about how, like, this guy is, like, trying to take your problems and help you work through them in a unique way.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm glad you brought that up about, you know, this is a character that we do not know anything about. There's nothing that the player says. Everything is, you know, the doctor is the one talking to you, and then there's another AI character that speaks through the game, but there's no sort of interaction from the actual player. And then as you're playing the game, Kevin, I don't know if this kind of came up to you, but like, when you enter those elevators, which is basically like you completing the level, if you look at the door, there's no reflection of anybody.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that there tells you that this is not a character in the game. This is you as the character in the game. So there's the player character is you yourself, which is pretty cool because everybody's going to be experiencing this game differently, which I thought was a really small detail in the game, but very, very cool to see as the game went on.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. It creates this very easy way to insert yourself into the narrative of the game. And it is pretty universal as far as what it's talking about too. So it is really easy to just connect with what is being talked about in this game. As small as it is, it's still just lovely to think about. So that's the whole story, is just like your character is there to go through therapy. And in the end, they have to figure out how to wake up as well, because they get kind of stuck in this process of going through therapy that is broken. So like don't worry, there's nothing to really spoil about it, because that's the whole story. Also, like, this game is really short. And that's another thing that I love about it, is that it's really easy to complete and just like do in one sitting. I had Matty K over in the PS Plus Game Club Discord talk about that. He wrote in and just said, just played that game a couple of weeks ago, easily beatable in one sitting, and I loved it. So the way that you can just sit down for like 2 hours and go through this whole thing is kind of relaxing. It's like sitting down for a really cool movie that is unique. So highly recommend as a game that you can just play in one night. It's really cool. I did spread it out over a couple of nights just because of like the time that I had, but it's a lovely game to just go through and relax. It's one of those, what I like to call cozy games, what everyone calls cozy games, when you just get to relax while you're working through this.
All environments perceived during eyelids should reflect a typical mental state. If you believe your mental state was compromised by Somnasculpt, please provide a comprehensive, rational explanation in your post-procedural survey. Completed surveys may be eligible for a gift card.
Let's talk a little bit about the style that this is in as well. It's got a very simple presentation. It's not like super realistic. And then while you're walking around all of these rooms, there's just some very calming jazz music that's playing during the whole thing. That just adds to the sense of relaxation and taking it easy and working through your problems. Did you play this with sound on?
I did play with sound on.
Yeah.
I think that was probably one of the necessities to the game. I think if it was just complete utter silence, I think it would have driven me mad. But the music itself kind of added like a layer of like relaxation, comfortability. You know, some of the puzzles are a bit challenging, but just kind of having some soothing music to kind of help you get through it kind of really adds, you know, it's another component to the game that I truly appreciate.
Yeah. Yeah. Occasionally I talk to people that have played games just without any sound for the first time, And it's like, dude, if you're going through this for the first time, try it with some sound, because there might be something in there that is intended for you to hear, not, you know, read, and especially with characters talking. So the music itself for this game, though, I think is pretty essential to just creating that atmosphere. And it's just nice to sit there and listen to. Like, I'd be playing this like late at night, and I'd get up to like go use the bathroom or like clean something up. I would just leave the game unpaused to let the music keep playing. And it was just nice to like just have in the background while I was doing something else. So that was pretty fun. The only other thing about this sound is that automated voice that you mentioned, because of my past experience with Portal, I kind of got this slightly sinister feeling from just hearing an automated voice. But there really is no reason to fear it. It's just that because it's there, and because we had another automated voice in another game that's very much like this, it makes it feel even more like Portal. So, did you suspect that this computer voice was going to turn on you at some point?
I did have thoughts of that, you know, just given some of the things that the AI was saying. It was very cold, very condescending at times. I did have a few chuckles here and there when the AI was talking to you. Yeah. I especially laughed at the part where, you know, where the AI said, if there was anything that could have compromised your mental state, you know, fill out a survey, complete a survey, so may be eligible for a gift card. I absolutely died at that. That was such a good one. And then, you know, there's several moments like that where the AI is just saying things like that, and you're just kind of like head scratching and wondering, it's like, is this an actual person? And then you have to remind yourself, like, no, this is an AI. You would expect an AI to say things like this.
Yeah. Yeah. One of my favorites was, as an AI, or it said something to the effect of like, I am not one of your caretakers. I do not care.
Oh yeah. My wife happened to be in the same area as me when I was playing, and she heard that, she started cracking up too.
Yeah. Yeah. So that it's not necessarily a character, but it is just another element there to exist in the environment that just, I guess could put you at ease, in some ways, but, you know, it did really add to the atmosphere. And then, every once in a while, like, you have it chiming in and saying something that is like, you know, okay, well, this is a little bit funny, but I wonder what else is going on here.
Hello, my name is Dr. Glenn Pierce, and I'd like to talk to you about being special. So special, in fact, that we have no idea where you are. But not to worry, we're working on it.
That's like an overview of the whole presentation of the game, but the real focus of these is the puzzles. What were some of your favorite puzzle types?
Oh man, I had a lot of favorite puzzles, but I think probably some of my favorite ones were, it was a little bit spread out through the game. My favorite ones were where you can interact with the objects in the room, you know, just the core mechanic of the game where you're resizing objects, stuff like that. That core mechanic kind of just translates across the whole game. But, you know, as you play the game, there's like different levels where they're focusing on different themes of perceptions. My favorite one especially was, I chose three, but my top one was the moon puzzle.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So like there's that moment, and I vividly remember getting to this the first time, but like you get into the room and you're supposed to find something to interact with, and like something that will get you out of this room. And you see like there's a bunch of objects in the room, but you can't really interact with any of them except for there's the skylight that's open, and the moon is there up above the skylight, but you have to orient yourself specifically so that you can touch it without actually having to reach through the glass. And my wife pointed out like, oh, why don't you grab the moon? And I said, that's a great idea. And then you did. What about you? Like, what was, like, do you remember what your reaction was to that one specifically?
Yeah, so I had just been walking around the room trying to see if there's anything I can interact with. And I looked at the skylight in the end. And you know how the skylight, they had the sticks to kind of prop the doors open? I thought the sticks was part of the puzzle. So I was thinking, like, maybe if I can try to knock the stick, you know, I can actually get it. And maybe that'll kind of lead me to the solution of the puzzle. But then, you know, it wasn't part of the puzzle. And then I looked on the walls and just saw all the pictures with the moon in it. And I'm thinking, okay, maybe this has something to do with it. I'm not entirely sure. So I'm clicking on all the pictures in the room with the moon in it, and still nothing was really leading me to much. And then I looked at the sky. I'm thinking, let's see if there's something up with the moon. And then right away, as I hover over it, you know, there's the hand icon that allows you to interact with it. I'm like, oh my goodness.
Yeah.
That's a really good one.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't even notice that, like, the pictures had the moon in them, and that, like, that they are trying to lead you to that. So that's fascinating. And then, like, what was your favorite chapter? Because, like, these chapters are, or the puzzles themselves are divided into chapters, and they have these specific types. So you said chapter three. Why was that your favorite one?
Chapter three. I don't know if that was, like, my most favorite one, but I think, like, now that I'm thinking about it, I think the blackout chapter is probably my favorite one.
Oh, yeah.
Just because, you know, the puzzles in there are very simple. It doesn't really require much of, like, what the game has already told you. It's basically you just have to find your way through a dark kind of a maze. But I think that level is my favorite out of all of them, just because it really changes the tone in the story.
Yeah.
Like, everything up until that point was a little bit weird. It was kind of calm, but nothing really made you think that something was going wrong. But then out of nowhere, you know, you get to this level, you know, the recording starts, you know, cutting out, the lights are flickering, and then all of a sudden it just made me think, am I in a nightmare or something? Like, what's going on? This is totally different. Like, this is way different from the vibes I was getting from the other chapters.
There's blood streaks on the floor too. There's, like,
exactly.
Yeah, it's creepy. And you keep thinking, like, okay, well, who's going to die here? Like, am I going to meet somebody that then gets killed or what? Like, is there some huge monster that's going to pop out?
Yeah, that was a crazy level for me. And just, you know, it really made me think that something really bad was going to take place. And the more I went, the more I was a little bit more worried, because, you know, I started seeing things. There's that part in the game where you see, like, a little mannequin head behind the window.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, oh, crap. Like, is this, like, a boss or an enemy, or what's going on? And you just find out that it's just a head, you know, a mannequin or head.
Wasn't it like a giant, like, a chess piece? Like, it was a giant pawn that was, like, sitting right there in the door, in the window.
It could have been.
Yeah.
It could have been. But yeah, it was, like, just stuff like that. That really just had me unsettled in that level. And then, like, by the end of it, you kind of just realized it was all just nothing really to worry about. The red blood that you talked about, Kevin, was just a can of paint that I guess someone had just been spilling everywhere. But that kind of just, like, kind of, like, brought me down to a level of, like, okay, nothing to worry about. We can proceed on with the game.
Yeah. Yeah. My wife did enjoy watching this a lot. And at that point, like, I walked into the room and I wasn't paying attention to what was on the floor because I had just gotten used to seeing the blood. But she just goes, "It's paint? Really?" So, that one was a ton of fun. I also liked how that particular chapter, like, going through the dark spaces, they force you to take advantage of, like, one of the exit signs that's lit up. And it is, like, having you walk around and use it as a flashlight. So I thought that was pretty awesome. Do you have any others?
Yeah. I have a few others. And I think the dollhouse one later in the game was probably, like,
my
other favorite puzzles.
That was so cool.
It was so cool, especially when you found out the solution. I'm just thinking, this is so cool. This is like one of the reasons why I like this game.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, it took a very simple mechanic, you know, just resizing things. But then, you know, you can even go further than that and just make it super ginormous. So the house, the dollhouse you have to interact with, there's a small door and there's no way for you to get it because, you know, you're at your regular height. And then the door is just, you have to go basically like Alice in Wonderland. You got to shrink yourself somehow.
But there's no bottle that says drink me on it. So then you got to figure out how am I going to shrink myself?
Yep. And then I just couldn't figure it out. Like for some reason, I'm just thinking like, how am I doing this? It's weird because I'm kind of in a time loop where I'll just go out of one exit and I'm already back at the entrance where I first went through the house. So it's kind of weird. But then I realized, I can see the doorway there to the little door, but it looks a little bigger from the outside. So I'm thinking, can I just make this house even bigger? And I'm thinking, oh man, this game, I'm just like pointing my finger at it. I'm like, oh, you sneaky devil.
This is what I love about the mechanic, because pretty much like it, if we were to explain it more in depth, like what it does is that you pick up something and you just have to hold it in front of your vision. And then if nothing is obscuring what you're holding, then it just automatically sets it up against whatever back wall or furthest object it is in front of. So if you're standing at one end of the room and you pick up a block or like just a, you know, something small, like a toy car, and hold it up in front of the wall and then drop it, it's going to be sitting at that back end of the room and it's going to be the size of a regular car. And if you want to make something really big, all you have to do is just pick up this object and then hold it directly over your head and let it fall for a certain amount of time because it's getting closer and closer to you. And then when you pick it up again before it hits you, it's now giant sized because it is again resting against the ceiling. So it's difficult to like kind of imagine, but once you start playing it, it's like, oh, this totally makes sense and this is really cool. So the like making the house supersized so you're walking in the size of a mouse into this doorway was one of those puzzle solutions where I was like, oh, this is brilliant. I love this.
Hello, my name is Dr. Glenn Pierce, and I'm just popping in to give you a quick update on where you are. We still don't know, but please keep moving forward, and hopefully you prefer frequent updates to being reminded that you are completely lost.
Any others?
So I had one other one, which I really liked, and this is probably the one that almost made me like break the game because I wanted to pull up YouTube and just look up the solution. But I just wanted to kind of go in casual. I didn't want nothing spoiled for me. And I think that's kind of why I'm so excited about this game. It's just the game kind of just was, it felt natural for me. I didn't feel like it's totally like I couldn't do it. Like I never got that sense of feeling. I just got the feeling like, okay, this game is tough. Let me kind of take a break. But this one was, it was eating at me forever. So it's the one with the giant apple. And you couldn't interact with it. It was in the level where you were cloning things.
Yeah.
And the giant apple was kind of like blocked in a barricade. And you had the fan in the room. Mm-hmm. And somehow you had to get the apple all the way up the stairs to the pressure pad that was on a higher level in the room. So my mind, I'm just thinking, maybe if I clone like 1,000 apples, I can just kind of have them all kind of trailing downward, and then maybe eventually the fan will just kind of like blow one towards the stairs.
Yeah.
And from there I can just start cloning 1,000 more, and then, you know, maybe I can get one up the stairs. But that one was like one of those puzzles where it seems simple at first, like you kind of have an idea of what the solution is, but the solution was just so much simpler than that. Like,
yeah,
when I finally figured it out, I'm like, are you serious? I just kind of sat there and was laughing like, do you put me through all that work just for that?
Like, yeah, but you know, you realize that sometimes you just can't overthink things. You really have to just take a step back and think like, okay, well, what's really simple here? And
yeah,
you know, it is all about perspective. you have to just think like, okay, well, the solution is here somewhere and it's not all that complicated. So like, is there another way to think about this? And I loved that one. That one did stump me too. I don't remember how long it took me to figure that out, but after a while I was just kind of like, oh, I'm just going to make as many apples as I can. And they all start rolling towards that fan that is just blowing things into a pit. And so I was like, well, fine. I don't know. And then I just happened to click on one that cloned itself, but because it was close enough to the edge of that wall where the switch was, the apple fell on the switch. And I was like, oh, okay, well, that's a good accident. All right.
Yeah.
It's like, okay.
That's not how it happened for me too. I just happened to be up there trying to see if I had a higher level of view, maybe I can like see the answer. Maybe I just wasn't at the right height.
Yeah.
But then I kind of like looked at that and I was like, could I like clone that and just make it appear like it's closer to me than it truly is? And sure enough, man, I was able to get through it.
That's
like,
the idea. Man. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
So cool. And then like, that is the, like the opposite of like what we were talking about, where you're trying to make something giant. If you want to make something tiny, you have to just like change your perspective and you have to hold whatever object you have directly up against a wall. And if you do that, then it's like a tiny little like toy car or whatever. But you know, this one in particular, you can't pick up stuff because whenever you try and pick it up, it just clones itself. That's what made me really have to like start thinking differently about this, because I have to think like, well, if I can't pick this up, really, what else can I do? And, you know, it's not complicated. Again, you just have to find your way around this. So like, it is really cool. But one of my favorites, we already talked about it, the dollhouse was probably my favorite puzzle, just because you have to like walk through this house and you have to be, you have to be big enough to get over this giant step, but then you have to like turn around and leave through the dollhouse again and like make it huge and then like shrink yourself down to get through that tiny doorway. The only other one that I really loved was one of the very late puzzles where you have to create a paradox, and that concept of like going into the dollhouse and then finding the dollhouse on like that you can actually pick up and use, and there's a doorway in the room that's related to the dollhouse. So what happens if you take the dollhouse through the doorway that it's connected to? And suddenly like the game shorts out and creates a paradox, and that's how you advance the game. So that particular puzzle, just like how do I break this concept, was really cool. I loved that one.
Yeah, that's a good one. I remember when you first go into that room and you find that puzzle or the warehouse is interactable, and you pick it up. But then you start to realize that the environment's also kind of like having shifts, and there's things falling from the ceiling, like little debris.
Yeah.
And then every time I dropped it, I'm like, is this the warehouse I'm in?
You
like,
hear a loud.
It was so cool. That,
yeah.
Yeah. You start to pick up on this thing and you're like, wait, I'm in this warehouse right now. This is so weird.
If you drop it, you hear a loud thud and the whole room shakes, and then like dust starts to fall from the ceiling. Oh, I get it. Okay. So. That puzzle is really cool. I thought that was neat. Also, the whole cloning chapter I thought was really cool, because you get to like, you know, try and create stairs if you just constantly click on a door and that door clones itself. And so now you have like a bunch of doors that get progressively smaller in front of you, and you use those as stairs to walk up over the wall. So I loved that one. I love this whole game though. I really do. And you mentioned getting stuck on the apple puzzle. Were there any others that you got like frustrated with?
So I got stuck on pretty much everything, and I was able to kind of just overcome it eventually. But I think the one that really hurt my brain was towards the end when you're in the white space, and there was a couple puzzles there, but the one that really takes the pie is the one where you have a block with the massive black square in front of you, And then you have to somehow get to an elevated door, but a block can only like resize. So, well, you can resize the block, but the block would be too massive and there's no way for you to jump on it.
Yeah.
And then I'm thinking like, is there something I'm missing? Is there something I'm missing? Like, I really don't know what I'm supposed to do. And then, you know, eventually you find out what you're supposed to do. And you're supposed to use that block to place it on the other side of the opening in that black square I talked about.
Oh, yeah.
And then that allows you to go through to get a cheese wedge that's on the other side of the wall. And then I'm thinking, well, how do I get the cheese, the wedge of cheese on the other side of the wall now? Like, I can't take it through because there's no way for you to take items through the doors. You know, the doors prevent you from taking items.
Yeah.
But then I'm thinking, well, can I just resize it from where I am? And this was just my brain going wild. Like, I didn't even think of like, well, how did I get the block in the first place? You know, I can certainly get it the same way I got the cheese out, or, yeah, you know, but I wasn't thinking of it at the time. Like, oh, why? I was so excited that I was able to actually find what I needed, but I couldn't think of how to get it out. And then like, eventually I'm like, well, why don't I just get it out the same way I brought the block in?
Yeah.
And then eventually I was able to kind of just get it, you know, I was able to pretty much get it, get the answer from that point on, and, you know, just resize the wedge. And then, but that was one that really, really broke my brain. I was like, let me pull up a video because I really want to see how close I am to the end. Like, if this is something that is like literally the last puzzle before I finish the game, like, I really want to refrain from looking at a guide.
Yeah. Yeah. And like, that's something again that, like, you know, the doorway doesn't exist unless you are able to pick up an object and place it in the doorway to make it be on the other side of that wall. And so now, because the wall is not just a wall with a white square on it, like, now it exists as like, oh, there is a door there because there's an object on the other side. And it becomes kind of like this very simple programming language where you have to like think in if then statements, because, you know, if there is an object there, then that means that I can walk through the door. Or the opposite of that, that like got me stuck, like not just once, but like I forget that this is the solution to the puzzle every time, but it's a like a minute later, there is a puzzle right after this one where you get to a room and it is a like black and white tiled floor. And if you start to walk on the floor, you just fall through it. But if you pick up one of the chess pieces that's on a table and place the chess piece on that tile, now the floor is solid. And so you have to walk over to the chess piece, pick up another one and place it on the next one. Every like, even like on repeat playthroughs, because I played through this game 3 times, but even on repeat playthroughs, I would do that. And then, first of all, I'd either walk into the room and just try to walk across the tile and forget that, like, oh yeah, I can fall through the floor. I got to pick up the chess piece. But sometimes I would even walk over the chess piece after I placed it down and place the next one. Like, it's you're taking steps, and then look down and pick up the one that I was standing on and fall through the floor again, because it was no longer a solid floor. That's one of those puzzles where it's like, ah, I can't believe I forgot this, or I can't believe I wasn't thinking about the solution in this way.
Totally. Like that one there, that one almost screwed me on my my speed run trophy, because yeah, I was moving so fast. And like you said, if you're standing on a tile and you move the pawn, that floor no longer exists. So like, I lost some precious seconds there at that time.
Yeah.
But yeah, once you play through the game, you still kind of have those moments where you're like, oh, I've already played this a few times, I know the answers. But then you kind of fall into that cycle where it's like, well, what did I do the time before? You know, I don't remember.
Yeah. Hello. My name is Dr. Glenn Pierce, and we still can't find you. But you should now have access to a series of elevators that should trigger your subconscious to gradually wake you up. You should also find a variety of emergency exit signs that should lead you to them. Will all of this work? Absolutely. Hello, my name is Dr. Glenn Pierce. In the event that this elevator does not wake you up, please don't interact with anything that strikes you as psychologically significant, as we will no longer have any way of controlling it. For example, if you see your parents, please punch them in the face as hard as you can and immediately run away.
What's also pretty fascinating is that I got through this whole game and didn't know that there were collectibles to find in this or hidden secrets. There are a bunch of different types too. Let's see. So like there's fire alarms that you can pull, and you get a trophy after pulling enough fire alarms and nothing happens. But there's also hidden chess pieces that are placed in very hard to reach places. And so you have to really manipulate items in the environment to get to a close enough spot to reach some of these. There's also hidden rooms with constellations that you can line up stars to form some sort of shape. I thought those were really cool. Did you find any of these collectibles on your first run?
No, the only ones that I kind of interacted with was just like the fire alarms, the extinguishers. I was aware of the other ones, like the chess pieces and, you know, the other collectibles to pick up, but I really did not find much on my playthrough. So that there told me that they're probably in some very tough to reach spots, or some spots that require a little bit more critical thinking on my end to find and locate.
Yeah. Yeah. They're well hidden, but they add some really cool stuff to the rest of the game. Again, they're completely optional and they don't really add any sort of like upgrade or story, like whatever, but it's just kind of like something else to do in this and like a little secret that they've hidden. One of the weirdest collectibles was, there is a series of blueprints that you can find that are just like maps of the level itself. That's pretty cool. One of them being in that same room that the moon puzzle is in. And what you have to do is like resize the moon to a specific point and then manipulate a couple other things to then let you climb out of the open skylight onto the roof of that room. And there's like a bunch of like disco spinning balls that are up there. It's kind of a weird area. Like it's a nightclub on the rooftop. And then there's a blueprint over there in the corner, but it shows that there's a lot more to this game that's hidden in the small spaces that you might not know about. And I really appreciate how they threw all this stuff in there, but it's not necessary to really appreciate the whole game. We talked about a couple of these things, but there are some extra things that you can do. You mentioned speed runs. You know, after a couple of tries, you ended up getting the speed run trophy for finishing it under 35 minutes. So did I. I did it last night. It's quite an accomplishment. It feels really good. You know, what do you think about like actually going for a speed run trophy in this particular game that is a puzzle game? Like, is it something that's really daunting?
Yeah, at first it seemed daunting just knowing that that's a trophy that exists in a puzzle game. I'm very, very kind of like hesitant when it comes to speedrun trophies, just because I don't like the thought of being stressed out and rushed. And that's worse when you couple that with a puzzle game. So yeah, that alone already had me kind of like fearful and apprehensive about that trophy. But after the first playthrough, you know, when I got through it and the game was still pretty fresh in my mind, I told myself that this didn't seem that difficult. And I tried to go for it on my first attempt. I got the one where you have to beat the game in an hour, but I wasn't quick enough to get the one where you beat it in 35 minutes. And from there, you know, I kind of just took it chill. Like I was kind of eating as I was playing, was like wandering off, like just distracted by my wife when she was cooking in the kitchen. And I figured 35 minutes, I could do it. But then you realize, like, after you actually get the trophy, you realize you don't have that much time to waste. So I was wasting like precious time when I was just not focused on the game.
Yeah.
Because when I finished, I did my second attempt. When I clocked myself, I had only 30 seconds left to spare. And I was telling myself, wow, I wasted a lot of time the night before.
Yeah.
You really only have 35 minutes to, or less to complete this trophy.
Daryl, you're going to hate me, but did you know that in the options menu, there is an in-game timer that you can turn on so you don't even have to like guess your time? It just tracks it for you the whole way through.
You know, I had a feeling that was something in there because I remember you were pretty specific to the second. I was like, how is he getting that unless he's timing himself? I did not know that was something in the game. I feel dumb now.
No. It's fine. Like you wouldn't know it's there unless you actually went and looked. But it's there. So like you can have a timer up in the corner of the screen to track your time. But it's also a little bit nerve-wracking because the first time I tried it, I got 37 minutes. And like getting through that last level, I kept looking at the timer thinking like, oh no, 2 minutes left. What am I going to make it? I'm not going to make it. Oh no. And then that second time around, I got to that last level with 5 minutes to spare. And I was thinking like, oh, okay, well, we got to go. I'm doing good. I still got time, but it's kind of nerve wracking. At the same time, earlier in the game, if you're going for a speed run and you make it through the first level in 2 minutes, you're feeling like, oh, this is great. I can do this. So the timer it's a double-edged sword. It feels really good when you get through a level really fast and you can track your time. But if you start to fall behind, it can be kind of nerve-wracking. So, you know, turn it on, turn it off, whatever really suits your style.
Hello, my name is Dr. Glenn Pierce, and I'd like to thank you for triggering every single one of our 823 emergency protocols. This will assist us greatly in improving the system for future patients. Congratulations! Anyway, you're now headed in the right direction, and we should be able to initiate the emergency exit protocol shortly.
After release, they also put out a developer commentary where you get to just like go through the game again and listen to them talk about making the game. That's a really cool feature. I only listened to a couple of the levels worth of commentary, but still fascinating stuff because they talk about how they conceptualize a lot of these puzzles and then conceptualize the idea of resizing things. So highly recommend if you're even more curious about this, and that's really cool. Then there's also a challenge mode, which I played for a few minutes and I was like, I can't do this because the challenges task you with getting through specific puzzle rooms with doing only a certain amount of things, like picking up an object only once or not jumping ever in the puzzle. So you have to figure out how to climb up to a door without jumping. And I don't know how anyone could do that, but there are people that have. Did you attempt the challenge mode at all?
I attempted it, and I have gotten the trophy for this.
Oh, nice. Nice.
Yeah, I know what you mean. This is where it really amps up, like, what you've learned from your previous playthroughs. It really puts your critical thinking skills to the test. And there's nothing, I mean, it's the same story, but they've done different variations to some of the puzzles. And that's why this is where I truly appreciate this game, because after beating the game the first time, you know, that sense of like lost hope, or, you know, like there's that sense of like not being able to do this game, went away. It totally, I forgotten it. I told myself, like, I can do this game. If this challenge build just amps up the challenge just a little bit, I can do it. So I went in there just thinking, like, all right, cool. I'm going to do this. It's going to be challenging, but I'm going to go in with a lot of confidence this time. And I did, but the game just makes it a lot harder. It's doable, but it's a lot harder. And even like the very like introductory puzzles are a little bit tweaked in a way. Like the very first one, that one I had to do multiple times. I think that's the one where you can grab an object maybe three times, but you can jump only once, or yeah, maybe you couldn't jump at all. And that was one, the one that really, really just had me, you know, kind of take a second where I was like, man, those guys just made an awesome puzzle. I can't believe it. Is the one where it's probably the fourth puzzle at the very beginning. And it's the one where you have two windows. You have one window that has a pawn in it, and then the second window has a pressure pad. But the variation this time is now the pressure pad has a glass kind of like divider there. So there's no way for you to put the pawn on top of the pressure pad. But you notice that there's a table in that room too, which was never in there from the first playthrough, like the original game.
Yeah.
Now you're thinking like, okay, there's a table in there. Is the table part of the puzzle? There's a window in front of the pressure pad. There's no way I can put the pawn directly on it. And then the table, I don't want to spoil it for you, Kevin. Do you want me to tell? Because this is one that kind of has a smile on my face.
Please do.
So you take the pawn and you have to resize it just big enough to where you can put it on the edge of the table. And the sheer weight of the massive pawn now is going to topple over and land on the pressure pad.
I love it.
Just had me thinking, like, oh, that is such a good one.
Yeah.
It was such a good one. And yeah, there's a lot of moments like that with the challenge run where it just takes the original puzzle and it tweaks it in a way and it just has you thinking from a different angle, you know?
Yeah.
Different angle. This is what the game really wants you to kind of, you know, use to your advantage. And just it makes it almost like a whole new game, which I really like a lot about it.
Yeah, yeah. It, like, you talking about that, that reminds me of another one of my favorite puzzles that was in the cloning chapter, where there's an apple that is sitting on a pressure plate, and the door would open if the apple rolls off the pressure plate. So you can't really push the apple because once you touch it, it just clones itself. So instead, what you do is you pick up a clone and hold it up above the apple and just let it fall. And this giant clone apple then knocks the apple off of the pressure switch. And like, it's all about momentum and manipulating that. So that's fascinating. I didn't make it to that challenge where you have to like get the pawn to topple over off the table. Were there any other like challenges that were just kind of like, this is brilliant?
Let's see. There are more of those. The only one that's really coming to mind is the chess piece set in the white space level. That one, you only get three chances to move things around.
Oh,
so, you know, it's like a 3x3 board. I can't remember.
It is. Yeah. Yeah. You'd have to like take the chess piece and place it on the seam where like it touches two tiles then at least.
Yeah, that's the way you have to do it. And that's one where I'm like, I had to sit there for a little bit. Like, how can I do this in less amount of moves? Because, you know, trying to put a piece on each tile, you know, there was no way I could do it. But, you know, gotta use your noggin, man. This game is definitely testing it.
Yeah, yeah.
Warning. Dr. Pierce is frantically submitting numerous spelling and grammar mistakes into the standard orientation protocol in a desperate attempt to counsel you. I have no subroutine to correct these errors, but I cannot compromise the integrity of the standard orientation protocol. You will not receive these messages. They would not make sense regardless. Attention. Dr. Pierce continues to input significant errors. I will interpret his basic ideas. Hello, my introductions are redundant. I am a real doctor who went to doctor school. VR has never been a mistake. I can help you, but I also do not know how. Transmission ends.
Okay, well, it sounded like you really loved this one as much as I did. Would you recommend Superliminal to somebody? I like to ask people, you know, would you say that it's not worth your time, or try it if it's on sale or in a subscription, or it's a shut up and take my money level kind of love? Like, what would you rate this game?
After playing Superliminal, I can say it is definitely worth your time. But I'm actually going to be a little, I'm going to surprise you. I think it fits the bill for two of the options off this list. So I think, yes, it is. You should pick it up if it's on sale or in a subscription. Right now, it's on sale for $9.99. I think full price is $20. And it's in the subscription with the PS Plus Extra. I think if you're like myself, who is kind of like wondering what games are out there, but you're probably a little too hesitant to play a game about puzzles, I think this is probably where you would fall into for this category. But I think if this is a game where you truly love games like Portal or, you know, Superliminal or any games that are similar to Superliminal, I think you should definitely put that money towards this game. You get a lot of value it out of it, and especially with the challenges, the extra mode that they put in there. You're getting a lot for your money. So
yeah,
2 and 3 for sure. I would recommend for Superliminal.
Fantastic. I sit the about the same where, you know, I really love this game, but I love puzzle games. So I'd say try it if you see it on sale, you know, or if you have a subscription to something that it's on. But honestly, if you love puzzle games, check this out. Like, go get it, because really it is something special as far as like making you think about, you know, what you're looking at and how to change perspective. So it's really cool. And it's got some good challenge to it. If you're looking for it, I found it pretty easy to just go through. And so if puzzle games aren't really your thing, this might still hit you pretty well, because it's something that is short and very simple and again, easy to just fly through. So you know, I beat it in a couple hours my first time, and I finished it in almost half an hour the second and third time. So, yeah, go give it a shot.
You're well beyond dreaming now, and further out than anyone has ever come back from. But we hope that you won't get discouraged. After all, if this is a place of pure perspective, isn't it also a place where a different point of view could make anything possible? Isn't that why you came here?
I also like to ask on this book club style podcast, are there any books or other recommendations for games or movies that you're into right now?
Yeah, so I think I may start reading the Dune books in the near future. I recently just watched Dune 1 and 2, like in the past 2 months. I absolutely love those movies. I saw Dune 2 in the theaters recently, and my wife loved it too, so she got the books. So I think I might read those books coming up pretty soon. I'm watching a couple shows on Hulu. I just wrapped up season 1 of Shogun, which is a really good show. It has Hiroyuki Tanaka on there, you know, who's been on other well-known movies like The Last Samurai with Tom Cruise, the most recent John Wick movie.
Yeah.
Very, very good show. I love it. It's like a feudal Japan version of Game of Thrones. If you're into that, you're going to love Shogun. And Under the Bridge. So this is a new show that just came out. I only got into this because my wife's been watching it, but it's looking into the murder of this girl from, I think she's from Canada, and there's a lot of mystery behind it, but it's pretty cool. It kind of just dives into, you know, kids who are living in foster homes, you know, bullying and stuff like that, and, you know, the family, and really enjoying it so far. So I'm surprised.
Nice.
Let's see. Puzzle games, I think other good perspective puzzle games is probably the one I mentioned earlier, Maquette. The Witness is also one. I kind of remember some puzzles in there, but that's a whole nother beast.
It is. It is. That's a game that that was my favorite game of 2016. And I haven't played it since then. And I can still tell you what some of the puzzle solutions are. Probably most or if not all of them, because it is like learning a language that is really hard to forget. And it is so cool. So I'm glad you brought that one up. Definitely go try The Witness if you're interested at all in this kind of game. Let's see. Like, I also wanted to ask you, are there other good like single sitting games, like games that you can play from start to end all at once?
Oh, yeah. There are a few that I did put up on my notes. I think Tacoma was one of them.
Oh, yeah.
That one I remember kind of finishing in a couple hours. But with these walking sim games, I usually take my time with them, because there's just a lot of stuff going on. And mm-hmm. I think I played that game with developer commentary on. And another game, too, is The Gardens Between. That was another game we were thinking of talking about.
Yeah.
But that was a very short game as well. Another puzzle game, but I think it was a very similar game to Superliminal, where the puzzles aren't overly challenging. It's absolutely doable. And lastly, but not least, Endling. Endling is a good one. If you don't cheat, you could probably beat that game in an hour. But I think overall, you could do it like maybe 4 to 5 hours, I think, overall. Mm-hmm.
I remember you talking about The Gardens Between, and I keep thinking like, oh, I should check that one out. So I think, yeah, it's time that I do. Another good one that I just thought of, because you mentioned Tacoma, which is, that's a fantastic one. And the game that Fulbright made before that was Gone Home. That's another great single sitting game where you can just sit down and play through it in a night. A great story that goes with it. I absolutely adore Gone Home, so check that one out. But other ones that I also thought of was one other one was Journey. I think that was one of the first that I played all through at once. Like, that one was, it was just something that was very unique at the time, that I don't think we've ever seen anything like that since, where you're just like going through someplace and trying to connect with people that you don't know. And you never really find out who they are until the very end. But like that one was really cool also, because I didn't realize that I was even playing online with other people at first. So yeah, Journey is a cool one. Gone Home and Tacoma, I second that one. That one was really cool. I played that all in one night. I've got one more recommendation, which is next month's game, which is going to be Raji, an Ancient Epic. Is an action game that where you play as a young woman who helps some ancient Indian gods fight demons and monsters. I watched a couple of videos of it. It reminds me very much of the old God of War games, not the one from 2018, but the ones from like 2005. Have you checked out Raji at all?
I've seen screenshots and actually saw the game page on the PlayStation Store. But it looks pretty cool. You know, I'd seen in your notes that this was going to be the game you were going to review, and it even has me thinking maybe I should even play it.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't really know anything about it until, I think, maybe like 2 days ago, when I actually, somebody else picked it, and then I said, well, okay, let me go check out a video of it at least. And I was like, this does look pretty awesome. And, you know, it's got that same, like, pulled back perspective and like combat style that God of War had, but it's not as crazy violent. So I'm really looking forward to it. Remember that you can be part of the show by writing into psplusgameclub@gmail.com to share your thoughts about Raji or recommend any future games. You can also find me on Discord at the Portland Kevin, if that's the way you'd want to contact the show. Daryl, where can people find you?
Yeah, so you can find me in Discord. We have a Trophy Talk community there. You can find me. I'm there as a Tall Spelling Guy. We also have Trophy Talk podcast links to our Twitter page, to SoundCloud, and even Patreon. On Twitter, you can find us at our handle, Trophy Talk Pod. And SoundCloud and Patreon, you can find us at Trophy Talk Podcast.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, thanks a lot, Daryl, for sitting down really quick and talking about Superliminal. This was great.
Yeah, it was absolutely awesome. I was a little worried about Superliminal. I wasn't sure if it was going to be a great game to discuss, but after playing it, I absolutely love this game. I was really excited to talk about it with you today. So I'm glad we were able to accomplish that and appreciate you having me on the show again. Thank you.
Yeah. It's great to have you here. So, it total huge accomplishment for finishing the game. It feels really good to just get through this and, you know, wake up this character or you yourself wake up. So this was also a really great way to illustrate therapy and promote it. If you're listening and you think you might need therapy or know someone who might need therapy, I highly recommend getting it. There's no shame in getting therapy. It's a healthy thing to do and an important tool for good mental health. So take care of it, take care of yourself, and encourage others to do so as well. Again, thank you for being here. And for everybody else, thank you for listening. I hope you have a great day and have fun playing around.
Hello, my name is Dr. Glenn Pierce. And by now, you may have realized that all of this has happened exactly the way it was supposed to. You see, everyone who comes to the Institute does so because they feel that they are no longer in control of something important to them. But more often than not, the problem is not that the problems we face can't be solved. The problem is that we become so afraid of failure that we refuse to see our problems from a new perspective. And so, we do the same things again and again and again. And therein, of course, we find exactly the failure we were looking for. Be a struggle, and you will always have problems. But today, you have the chance to see things differently. Even though it meant facing obstacles that seemed impossible at first, you thought outside the box, and you overcame them. Because you saw things from every angle, you understood them for what they really were. Because you kept moving forward, no matter how far off the path you were told you were headed, or how unexpected it became, you found your way. Back in the real world, and some part of you will say that none of this was real, so how could it have really meant anything? But just like the power of perspective itself, it will have been as real as you believed it to be. All you've got to do is wake up.